Well, this is exciting that we're actually face to face. It's so overwhelming, actually, to see people. It's just exciting, and it's just delightful for me to be here. And weeks and weeks and weeks ago, Ollie asked me if I would speak on the first Sunday that Livingston would be live, but I know St. Mungo's are watching as well in Balerno, so welcome. And he asked me if I would speak on the theme walking in water, which is mentioned in John chapter 6. And weeks and weeks ago, I had a fairly busy summer. Some of you know I do summer schools. And so in a rush, I put 29th of August in my diary. And just for a little shorthand, I put the letters W-O-W, and I think we might have them. I didn't write walking on water, I wrote W-O-W, and I thought, that's me sorted, I now know what I'm doing. It's in the diary, and then I can breathe a sigh of relief. And then this week, I picked up my diary, and I thought, okay, Sunday's coming, Sunday the 29th, and I have to speak on, wow. And I thought, I wonder what that is, and I wonder what I have to say, and Lord, would you give me a word? And so I started to pray in the Spirit, and I said, well, what does wow actually mean? Now, you probably all have your own definitions, and everyone says it now and again at different times as a sign of excitement or appreciation. But the definition I felt that the Holy Spirit birthed in my heart when I asked the question, what does wow mean? And I just felt God said to me, the wonder of worship. The wonder of worship. And we're going to read a very well-known Bible story. And there are some things you will already know about that story because I know we've read it 100 times. But there are some things that I saw as new this week about the story. And it's those little pieces and hopefully those little gems, those words of life that I'd like to draw your attention to. The word wow, I got so touched by this, the renewal and wonder of worship. I decided I'd look up the dictionary definition of wow. And I said to myself, it won't actually be in the dictionary. W-O-W won't be in the dictionary. It'll be W-H-O-W. So I looked up W-O-W, and you'll never believe this. Way over wonderful. We serve a God who's way over wonderful, who is amazing, who is majestic, who's awesome. And today I think God wants to renew us in wonder, to renew us in the wonder of worship. And I want you, as I speak and as I start to read the Bible, I want you to start whispering this word, wow. Let's just have a little try. Wow. Wow. You can do it loud. You can do it soft. You can shout. Because God wants to renew something today. Last night in a dream, as I was praying for the meeting, the Lord took me to Isaiah 35, and it says there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their head. They will obtain gladness and joy. I want us to obtain that as we leave here this morning. They will obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And in the dream, I think I heard the sound of sorrow and sighing flee away because he's returning us and we're going to obtain gladness and joy. And I felt the gladness and joy of heaven would actually disturb the sorrow and sighing that's been in many of our hearts for weeks and months, and those things will flee away. Now, as we come to our Bible passage this morning, some of you will be aware of the messaging from the Scottish Government. I have a little photograph of Nicola there. And Nicola's messaging, I think, is prophetic. But she has messaged us every week almost for the last 18 months. And we as a nation have gone from level 5 lockdown, level 4 lockdown, level 3 lockdown, level 2 lockdown, level 1 lockdown, and then Nicola announces we're now at level 0 lockdown. And the messaging is how to move from zero to beyond. And there's something about this morning, you see, you're turning a page, you're back in your live worship. I keep seeing pictures of us all pulling off our masks and just shouting our heads off as God renews us in the wonder of worship. And we might ask, well, if we're at zero, if this is zero, if we've come from minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 to zero, there's a step prophetically we can take to beyond this morning. And you might say, well, what's beyond zero? And I think the thing that's beyond zero is something about beyond our past. Something about beyond our tradition. Something about the way we used to do things. Something about the way we used to see things, and maybe even the way we used to sing things. Because God's intention is to renew. The people of God returned and they come with singing. The people of God returned and they came and received everlasting. They would obtain everlasting joy. And the sorrow of the past 18 months will flee away. And we might even hear the sound of sighing fleeing away in the midst of God's people as we obtain. Just think of that. If God just hit each one of us with a spirit of joy and gladness, and we actually obtained that. And so our Bible passage, it should be John chapter 6, but I asked Ollie's permission if we could read the Matthew account, and he was very kind and he let me read the Matthew account. So it's the same story. It's about Jesus and Peter walking on the water, but I'm reading the Matthew account and it's up on the screen. And immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, come, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came forward with Jesus. And seeing the wind, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son. Truly, you are the Son of God." This is an amazing story. I used to think this was a story about walking on water, and it is. It's miraculous. The fact that Jesus and Peter walked on the water is no doubt miraculous, and it's a sign and wonder. But the thing is, we come to the end of that text. I began to think in the context of what I was praying, in the context of what I was hearing in the Spirit, that for us this morning, this is a story about worship. They saw the wind, they saw the waves, they saw the storm, and our little Bible story ends with, he got into their boat, and they worshipped him. And they suddenly saw something new about Jesus. And I suppose my question this morning, what is the new thing that we've to see about Jesus? As we go from zero to beyond, as we tear our masks off, as we sing our songs, as we recreate community, as we transition from zero to beyond. You see, Jesus said to them to go beyond. The frightening thing about that story is he said to them, get into the boat and go to the other side. It was Jesus who put them in the boat. I could hardly believe that. It was actually Jesus said, get into the boat. He didn't invite. He didn't suggest. He didn't request. He didn't say, it would be really nice. He said, get into the boat and go to the other side. And I started to think, why would he do that knowing that there was a storm? Why would he do that knowing that he was risking their lives? And I suddenly saw in the context of what we're reading, they see all this. They see that they got into the boat. They knew they were to go to the other side. They experienced the wind and the waves hitting them. They screamed with fear. Jesus walks in the water. Jesus gets into the boat and stills the storm. And they go, wow. 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 He really is the Son of God, isn't he? And I suddenly thought the whole point of this story for us this morning is to renew us in our worship and to give us a new revelation about the God we've known for years. I think I've known God probably most of my life. And yet this week I felt I didn't know him at all. I thought I knew Jesus for years and years, and this week I felt I didn't know him at all. Because he wants to be way over wonderful well. And wondrous in worship, wow. And he wants to give us a new thing to shout about and a new revelation of who he is. And we sing our little song, Waymaker. We say he's a waymaker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And I want to ask you this morning, who do you say he is? And we sing Waymaker. And I started to think, what if we started to sing wave stopper, wind halter, wind husher, light in the darkness, this is you, who you are. We would start to sing with a whole brand new revelation of Jesus as he gets into the boat. Who is he for you? In this season, coming through what we've come through, who is he? Who do you say he is? I think for the last 18 months, I've been saying, he is my refuge. He is my shelter. He is my God in whom I shall trust. Who do you say he is? Because if we could sing the song of the Lord in you, if we could release that worship in you, I suggest we would be renewed in our worship and would hear a new sound. And that would be the sound we have to capture to take us from zero, to transition from there to then, because Jesus put them in the boat and Jesus said, we're going to the other side. One or two points I'd like to draw to your attention from the story. Point number one, certain storms are unavoidable. Jesus made them get into the boat knowing there was going to be a storm. And I think, oh dear, that's not how I imagined. I just thought Jesus would say, no, don't get into the boat. You might get a bit seasick tonight. And I think, oh, I didn't know God would do that. Here's a new revelation. I didn't know he was like that. Some storms are unavoidable. And I don't personally deal with many physical storms. Peter goes sailing with his brother-in-law. I get seasick, so I avoid those storms. But the storms I see are emotional storms. In my job as a counselor, I see people caught in the most awful emotional storms. I see people caught in really, really sad psychological storms, really storms that trouble their mind psychologically. I see people in relational storms where couples are fighting and killing and biting and nipping and all the things we shouldn't do. But the storm that we're talking about this morning was unavoidable. And I want you and I to think, you see, you have actually, all of us here, we've come through a storm. It's just been awful. The lockdown, the imprisonment, the rules, the uncertainty, the anxiety, the loneliness, the weariness, the what now, what's next? What do we do now? Are we out or are we in? Are we in or out? It's the hokey-pokey. We shake it all around and put it in. And we get to the point, we don't know, are we supposed to hug or sing or not sing or whisper? And the question I'm asking you is, there are two different ways to go through a storm. The first way is as a survivor, and the fact that we're all here today, in spite of what we've come through, that's that storm that lasted so long. Well, wow, because you've survived. We've survived. But the way I'd like you to think about coming through a storm, the second way that we can come through a storm is we can, if we can stand back from it just for a moment and say, what did God want to teach us? Can we be students of the storm? What did he want to teach us through all the storms that we've come through? Some of you have come through the COVID storm, and in spite of the losses, in spite of the loneliness, in spite of the weariness, we're still here. Well, that's a miracle. Wow. But the second way through the storm is, well, what did we learn? Can we become students of the storm? And one of the observations is that if this storm was unavoidable, what was God trying to teach us? You see, what was God trying to teach the disciples in the storm? He put them in the boat. He gave them this crossing over command, you will go to the other side. That's a liminal space. They've no longer to stay in this space, they have to go to that space. Here's a liminal command, you're at the threshold of a new moment. That space is not where you have to be. You've now to occupy this space. And he gave them the command to go to the other side. And somehow they had to learn something. And I think some of the lessons that we observe from the text is that in the midst of their fear, he reveals himself to them as, I am the great I am. I am here. It's all right. Don't be afraid. I am is here. I am here. Take courage. Do not be afraid. I am here. So in the middle of a storm, when we are uncertain and anxious and wondering what on earth, one thing after another, I just can't take another wave or another blow. I am. I am. I am. That I am is here. That's a wonderful lesson in the storm. And when Peter cried out, Lord, save me, it says the word immediately, Jesus. There are three immediately's in that little story I told you. Immediately, he put them in the boat. Immediately, he stretched out his hand. Immediately, he got in the boat. That means straight away. No delay. Immediately means right away. The minute he cried, save me, he says, I am here, and he stretched out his hand and he took hold of him. The second point about this storm, I think for the disciples, is that Jesus was trying to teach them to trust. The timing here is quite significant. I had to look up what fourth watch. He came to them in the fourth watch. And I wasn't quite sure what fourth watch meant. And I think it means 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So this first watch, second watch, third watch. His timing, I thought, why didn't he come as soon as the storm said they were many stadia away, and the winds and the waves began to batter them. And Jesus waits till the fourth watch, till it's almost dawn. You and I, probably in the last 18 months, we got to fourth watch. Fourth watch is the moment where it is as if, I don't think I could go on with this stuff any longer. I think we were all amazing in the first lockdown. We were like, come on, I can do this. I've just broke my mic. Come on, I can do this. We probably were kind of okay in the second lockdown. Fourth watch, I would imagine they were very, very afraid and very tired and just thought that. I see King David cries, Lord, how long? In the Psalms, Lord, how long will you forget me? See, that's what happens in the fourth watch. Lord, you could have come in the first watch. You could have come in the second. Well, how long will you forget me? And you see, Jesus waited till they got to that stage, but there's nothing, nothing left. I was full of enthusiasm in the first lockdown. I thought we could do this. And he comes in the fourth watch, and that was designed to teach them to trust. The thing about it was Peter who got out of the boat. Peter, the fisherman. Peter who knew the waves, who knew the wind, who knew the water. I wonder if those disciples in the boat who were in the fishing boat, I wondered if at times they had heard ghost stories, you know, like the Loch Ness Monster, like everybody in Scotland has heard of. And we go, is there a ghostie? Is there a monster? And he knew stuff. And he got out knowing, as a fisherman, knowing the waves, the wind, the water, the whole bit, the stories, the history. And while he was looking to Jesus, he was walking on water. And I started to think about the things we know. Proverbs 3, verse 15. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. And sometimes the things we know cause us to sink. Sometimes, if I was trying to analyze this, I'm quite an analytical person. Sometimes I would maybe say, so before I walk on water, I need a lecture on buoyancy and gravity and left, right, left, red, leg, out. And how'd you do it? But see, he knew a lot about the water. And I think the point of this story for the disciples was he was teaching them not to lean on their own understanding, not to try and analyze your storm, not to work out, but to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And the third point, last point, I've put a picture of a seesaw there. Sometimes our what-ifs, it's like, I want you to think of your emotional seesaw. You see, sometimes we might say, what if the waves batter us? Well, what if they don't? See, what-ifs work both ways. Well, what if we drown? Well, what if we don't? Well, what if we have to go back? Because this storm's too difficult. But what if Jesus said, go to the other side? What if this wind and this wave and this storm means there's a contesting for the new level? There's a contesting for the thing that we've to occupy, the place we've to occupy, that which is beyond zero. The messaging from the government, we're going from zero to beyond. We're going to the other side. We're going beyond our past. We're going beyond what we've experienced. Well, what if this wind means we have to contend and contest for the new level that God has for us, the new space, the new spiritual territory, the new anointing, the new sound, the renewal of wonder? what if we've to go forward? What if we've not to go back, even if it's hard? What if we've to go forward? And I want you to think a little bit about your what ifs. And Jesus, of course, he just gave one word. Lord, if this is you, could you bid me to come? I'm very interested in the one word. Jesus said, come. I'm really interested. I do one word prayer. Some of you know that. Sometimes my favorite prayer is just one word, help. Another favorite prayer is, sorry. Another favorite prayer, thank you. And here Jesus speaks one word, come. There's no kind of instruction, how, where, when, what, who, I'm used to, because I do one word prayers, I'm used to one word answers. I want you to get used to simplicity. He didn't get a whole load of instruction. He just got direction. Just come. I hear the word I hear in my life is go. I hear that all the time. And I like to, again, because of my mind, I say, well, I have to go to Cambodia. So how do I get there? Who have I to connect to? What have I to do? I like all that stuff. Just go. When God has had to say to me, well, go just means go. That's actually, just go. Jesus said, come. And he came, and we know that. And I started to think, what's the point of one word for me? I've seen it. Don't want to take your time, but I've seen it so often. One word, go, give, forgive, rest. I get that quite a lot. And what I want to suggest to you is that one word, come, no instruction, no lessons, no how to do the thing. There was a divine enablement with the command. There was a new grace with the command. And suddenly he can get out of the boat and we've got Peter and Jesus walking in water. That's a wow moment. That is wow. We mustn't forget the wow of that. But if Jesus gives you a one-word directional, go, help, pray, the obedience to that one stepping out, which could be anywhere, anything, to anybody, there will be a new grace upon your life, a new courage, a new unction, a new divine enablement, a new anointing to do the thing that Jesus commanded. And at the beginning of the Bible story, he put them in the boat. He made them get in the boat. He told them to go to the other side. And there would be a new grace, a preparation, a preparatory, is that the right word? Preparing grace to what's on the other side. I want to suggest, St. Mungo's, that we need a new grace for what's beyond. We need a fresh grace for what's beyond. The grace that's upon my life was okay for 18 months ago, or 2 years ago, or 5 years ago. But if we've nothing new to shout about, if we've nothing new to sing about, there'll be no new songs, there'll be no new sounds, there'll be no new revelation of who he really is. And they said in the boat, truly, 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 oh my goodness, he is, this is who he is, this is who you are. And we create a new sound birthed that of the revelation of Jesus that we received in the storm. I'm aware of my time. I must stop. Why is this important? I mean, all these Bible stories are important. Of course they are. The thing that really struck me in reading WOW in my diary and hearing WOW from God, renewal of wonder. Why is that important? The first part of the story is we're going to the other side. The messaging from the Scottish Government, we're moving from zero to beyond. And the point is, we don't know how to do that. I don't know what's beyond COVID. We're about to start a new diploma, and I think we've got about 40 students in Scotland and 36 in Ireland. And Vicky, my colleague, and I, we said, well, you know, is it 2 metres? Is it 1 metre? Mass on, mass off, do we sing? Do we shout? I don't know. I really don't know. I read all the thing every day and I still don't know. We don't know what our transitional crossing over space is going to look like. But I want to suggest it will include a new sound. It will include a new song. It will include wonder. It will have to include a new anointing because the old thing is over. We can't go back to doing church the way we did it before this thing happened, before the storm. And we come together today, I think, really realizing there is an assignment on the other side. You can go on and read the Bible when you get home, but when they got to the other side, signs and wonders broke out in the presence of the Lord, and the lame were healed, the blind were seeing, and it was amazing. And the whole point of the storm was to prepare them to get to the other side, to prepare them for the other side, to grace them with a new grace so that they could do the works, the signs, the wonders, the miracles that would be required in that new place. I'm going to ask the band to come up. We're just so badly out of time. Last question, and this is the fun bit. I hope you've got your trainers on today. I put my little flat dancing shoes on today. Last question is, how do we walk on water? See, I want you to think about it. We're going to do it in a minute. This will be fun. This is really going to be fun. I think the only answer I have, I've actually tried to walk on water. I go to places with beaches. I like doing that. And I've tried to. And I've never, ever, ever made it. How do we walk on water? I think the answer is John 15. Apart from me, we can do nothing. I think we're going to the other side. I think we're going to a new level. I think there's going to be a renewing in worship and wonders, signs and wonders. And how are we going to walk on water? Abide, it's all these words. John 15, abide. Abide. Apart from me, you can do nothing, but with me, you can ask me for anything. I've been asking a lot, what's this crossing over space? What's this liminal space? What's this new anointing? What's this new day? What's this new space? What's this new sound? How can we be able to carry the new shout of victory? Apart from me, abide in me, and you can ask me for anything. Today, if you feel you would like a little ministry, Ollie's instructions is that we're not allowed to come to the front. So I have to be a very good girl. And I felt God wanted to do some specific things. And all we're going to ask you to do, if you want, I'm going to pray in a little minute. If you're at home, I'm going to pray. And I would like you, when you hear some of the things that I'm calling out, I'd like you to stand if you would like to receive in prayer. And then the instructions for ministry is just to stand and receive. I feel that God wants to do several things. If you're at Hope, I really would appreciate it if you would stand. If you're here and we're live, I'm going to call some things out and stand if you wish. The questions I've to ask you. You see, when Peter was sinking, Jesus said, come. So if anybody's sinking, just stand up. If you feel you're going down for the third time, just stand up. The thing to say is come. If anyone is feeling that they need to ask for help, just stand up, just come. If anyone would like to ask God to stir up the gift of God that you received on the laying on of hands, then come to Jesus. If anyone would like the giver to give us the gift of faith and stir up the gift of miracles and the effecting of signs and wonders, just stand. If anyone would like to carry the new sign, the new sound, the new grace, the new enablement, the new unction, if anyone would like new eyes to see, if anyone would like the spirit of wisdom and revelation to have eyes to see, this is who he is. He is way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. This is who he is. But he wants to stop the wind and quell the waves and put under his feet everything that would cause us to not be able to make it to the other side. And so, Father, we lift our hands to you this morning. And we ask in the name of Jesus that you would pour out your Holy Spirit. We pray for a new grace upon our people, our congregations in Balerno and in Livingston. We pray for a grace that would cause us to be able to cross to the other side and to go beyond zero. We pray, Father God, for a stirring up of the gifts of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we receive by the laying on of hands. And today we particularly reach out for the gifts of signs and wonders. Lord, signs and wonders. And we pray as your people that you would renew us in wonders, that you would renew the wonder of worship, and that you would be way over wonderful in the midst of our ministries in Livingston and in Edinburgh. As the Lord we receive, would you just start to receive? Come, Holy Spirit, just start to receive. We receive. And I ask also, Lord God, that the sound of sorrow and sighing would flee away. I break those sorrows, those sufferings, those sighings, those consternations, those depressions now in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father God, that as we worship, we would obtain gladness and joy. Spirit of joy, spirit of praise, wonder in worship, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just receive and start lifting your voice as Stephen brings us into the presence of the Lord.